You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Mitch, help me here. If there's something you think fits, boy, save that for the mixtape.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
He puts himself in up there next to
Big Blue Drew.
And James Strebel.
That texter got me off.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
EJ was ridiculous. That's my vision of him. That's what I think he is. Now, why do you think he was able to do that? What have we been doing with him? Conditioning. They don't like it. It hurts. It's hard.
A good open and a good start to the show. It is The Take. It's a Thursday. Hell, it's a thirsty Thursday here. Get out of here! The wife's down here. We're talking about E.J. Montgomery's dad. Do you understand that?
How important this is?
To hell with Brett McMurphy, who was a great guest in the last segment, but I think dashed any hopes that I had that the football season was going to start, which is fine. My Giants are going to stink anyway, but now we're not even going to have the pregame of getting ready for August. I swear to you, I'm just going to have to go to a parking lot and just drink in a parking lot.
So anyway,
it's the Take on ESPN 680 105.7, ESPNLouisville.com. We're at my home again, broadcasting live from the mobile Papa John studios here. 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line. I do love right now my wife,
yes,
who knows what time we go on the air, has picked this time to make some sort of meal, like right now, this very moment, in this part of the home.
As she slowly closes the door.
What's going on?
Oh, you know.
Damn microwave off. So, E.J. Montgomery. E.J., I don't care. It doesn't matter. We had to keep playing promos because the we thought the keyboard was broke.
Right.
We were getting ready to start the show.
And we're just going to start with dogs barking at the mailman.
That's exactly how it was going to start.
It's
going to
be awesome.
437-9680, a busy, busy show today. We will continue to unveil the sound bracket, the Louisville Lock region. We will do that here. And we probably, Mitch, need to get through one or two of these matchups here before our first guest. Our first guest is Sam Vecenie, is going to join us from The Athletic at about 3:30. He had his big board released today. It has created some general discussion, and so we will get into that. It's not a mock draft, but on his big board, he does not have someone like Jordan Wara being in the top 60 picks. And Sam,
wow,
we spoke with him probably about, maybe 3 weeks ago, Mitch, I'm trying to remember. And he just wasn't high on the jump that he made. Now, I thought he was a much better player this year than last year, and I didn't think it was close, and I think he did get better. I just don't think he needs college to get ready for the NBA. That's a whole different discussion. But that was out there, obviously, Emmanuel Quickly, so we'll get to that as we go today. Sam Vecenie from The Athletic is going to join us at 3:30 here on The Take, and then Rick Bozich at 4:30. He's from WDRB. So that's how the show sets up today. And like I said, the Louisville Lock region, I mean, Mitch, there's some just absolute bangers, as the kids would say. We're talking Kansas. The overall number one is Bobby V reading the Antonio Brown tweets.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I'm a little bit angry at Process today. I do not mind saying it. In fact, we may reach out to Process. Well, I text Process that you got Lamar Jackson hugging Hollywood Brown and Antonio Brown. That's not social distancing.
That is not.
That's not trying to, as Andy Beshear has said, that's not beating the coronavirus.
It's not slowing the curve.
You understand what I'm flattening the curve.
Flattening the curve. Yes, sorry, flattening the curve.
You couldn't even get the pinky moniker right.
No, flattening
the curve. How many times have you heard that?
Probably 500, but my brain started to turn to mush at this point in the quarantine.
Did my wife make you popcorn, Strebel? Did you make Strebel any popcorn? All right, he can only have three kernels anyway,
yes,
with his shrunken stomach.
Yes.
That's all that he can have. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. Just four or five kernels. I'll be good.
I'm good.
That's good.
I'm full.
So what were you talking about?
We were talking about.
What the hell was I talking about?
Flattening the curve with Antonio Brown, Hollywood Brown, and Lamar Jackson hugging.
And I was like, hey, get on Blankenbaker this morning to say that Lamar Jackson's not, you know, social distancing. He didn't do it.
Why not?
We may have to call him. He's probably taking his infamous mid-afternoon nap that he's always taking.
Don't disturb me.
Yeah, so we may do that. So Sam Vecenie, we'll get to Rick Bozich. Obviously, E.J. Montgomery, the quotes that have come out. Kyle Tucker was first, and then Jerry Tipton yesterday. And I just, with the E.J. Montgomery discussion, it's very easy. And Mitch, it's going to happen today. I'm pushing Strebel this way.
Uh-oh.
Because what we need from Strebel, you're mad at E.J. Montgomery. Now, I think in a moment like this, I would like to be the level-headed one.
Yes.
But you want to do the fan thing here.
I do.
You are mad at E.J. Montgomery. His parents are delusional, and
yes,
that is one way the show could go, or it could have nuance when it talks about E.J. Montgomery. I think E.J. Montgomery, it is big if he comes back. They need him to come back. If you believe in the development of the big man whisper, Kenny Payne, and you believe in John Calipari, and, you know, P.J. Washington, he came back. Look what happened. Nick Richards, he came back. Look what happened. The Kentucky is trying to show, knowing that they're not going to have teams that are going to look like 2010 in 2012, different teams. And Keon Brooks, maybe this year, is going to buy into it. But they need him to buy into it and come back. It's an option. And it's a better option than, I mean, it is at least as good of an option as any grad transfer out there. I don't know. Duke got one right before we came on the air. Duke got, Mitch, you have any idea?
I know
since you're a mid-major guy, do you know? I would have figured these are just immediately coming to your iWatch.
I know your guy Penny got one.
Yeah, Penny got a JUCO. Yeah, it went from James Wiseman to a JUCO.
Yeah.
Penny's done.
He's done, man.
He's done.
He's done.
I'm saying that.
Yeah,
and to help you, Kupasan, he's done. You understand what I'm saying?
That's your guy.
I went all in.
You went all in on him. One season's all it took.
And then not even a season.
Not even a season. It was just
two games. It was two games.
Yeah, and then
two games.
NCAA came in and said, you're not playing.
Bleeped everything up.
Yeah.
So it's a take here. So that is going to be how it sets up today. We'll talk about E.J. Montgomery. And I don't know. There's a couple poll questions that I have. I don't know if we should lead with what Brett McMurphy said just 20, 5 minutes ago on the V Show. This notion has been kicked around Twitter, and I have seen it grow online. And that is the thought process of, hey, college football is going to be pushed back, and it gets pushed back to the spring. And the question, obviously, is that is going to be sports overload. There's no doubt that it's going to be sports overload.
Right.
But if they play college football on top of college basketball, that is a very bad thing for college basketball.
Oh, it's terrible for college basketball.
I mean, that is a bad thing for college basketball. Or you could say the niche people, and sometimes that's what college hoops are.
Yeah.
It can be a niche sport that the cities like us and the state of Kentucky, Indiana, North Carolina, and then the people that are going to follow it are going to follow it.
Yeah.
But I just mean TV space. You get way pushed down the aisle when you're up against not only the NFL, but college football, and that just matters more, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
And TV matters more than live, and we get it. So that is out there. Mitch, do we have that? That's about 2 minutes. So you guys tell me, do we do antics or do we tease? Do we tease more hardcore E.J. Montgomery? His parents are so delusional.
Those quotes by his dad. I mean,
that would be my dad calling me and saying, you know what, son? It's good to see you've become Bob Costas.
Right.
Yeah. It. You know. Now you're Bob Costas.
Yeah. Aren't you on major?
No. Not asking. Telling.
Just telling.
Because that's what they think.
Yes.
That their son automatically, no doubt about it. He's playing in the – and Ben Howland being quoted that he's going to play in the NBA.
I know.
Ben Howland.
Where did he come from? What the hell did they get Ben Howland? Where did they dig him up?
Well, you know what that was? He's the only coach that reached back out to Jerry Tipton.
You're probably right.
I bet
right.
Jerry Tipton sent to the SIDs, I would guarantee, hey, can we get a quote about E.J. Montgomery? I'm writing a story about him. And Ben Howland was the only one. Who's obviously Ben Howland's not doing a damn thing.
No, he's not.
To answer Jerry Tipton back.
Yeah, no, you're That's exactly fantastic. Right. The quote that really got me from E.J. Montgomery's dad was the one where he stated that his skills weren't being utilized enough.
No, they're only begging him to be good. Like, they needed him to be good more than anything else on the team for two straight years. For two straight years, the position that he was recruited for, they were begging to get more, and in 2 years, they never got more.
Right.
Never.
I put this on Twitter. There were games where John Calipari stated, our focus was to get EJ going. And EJ is not a post-up guy. He's not Nick Richards. He's not sitting under the basket, post-up. They pulled him out in the perimeter. They did pick and pop with him. They did multiple things to get him going. And outside of, two or three games?
Jay Williams analysis. Listen to Brent Berry over here, Mitch.
But outside of two or three games, he couldn't hit a damn shot.
Oh, stop. You don't need to validate that.
No, I'm not validating.
You don't need to validate that he stunk. He stunk.
He stunk in this idea that it was somehow Calipari or Kentucky's fault.
Well, no, that's that just, he didn't. No one's buying into that.
But
no
the fact that he said it just pisses me off.
That's fine. But no one, the story isn't that. That's the surface. Everyone knows we do this dance every year, especially with Kentucky and John Calipari. The point is that no one has their back. Everyone agrees with what you just said.
Right. There's no one coming
100% of the people are agreeing with you. That's why you don't need to yell and scream and get mad about it. Because everyone reads the comments, and we'll read the comments here in a second before Brett McMurphy ruins our lives, respectively, here. So you're mad.
I am mad.
You're mad because he's not satisfying your basketball needs.
That's right.
And that potential for next year.
Very selfish.
You're losing all sorts of confidence. On next year. Mitch, I wish you could see our guy Strebel. He has went from chesty and cocky like every other BBN blowhard that's out there, and now he is not enough guard, not enough big, not enough experience. Like, he's giving in right now.
I'm not giving in. I still expect him to be. Look, here's and this is my point earlier this week. People that called for these 2-3 year players got what they wanted the last 4 years. And outside of 2 Elite Eights, didn't do too much. Okay? They were all right, but all that experience that we talked about that we wanted.
Would you save that instead of 2 Elite Eights? I want Bob to hear that tomorrow and react and crush Strebel.
Play for Locke and Bob.
Locke will agree with you.
That's what I'm saying.
No, Bob will crush you.
He'll get mad at me,
I'm also going to email it to Mike DeCourcy.
Yes.
Maybe we can get Mike DeCourcy's reaction on that as well.
But when Kentucky was really rolling, it was with primary freshmen, and primary freshmen are five stars.
So that's your pivot to cockiness.
That's my pivot to cockiness. I'm pivoting to say, look, Cal's at his best when he's got the best of the best, and he's got two of the best coming in B.J. Boston and Terrence Clark. Let's go. And Devin Askew and Lance Ware and Isaiah Jackson, Cameron Fletcher.
I was about to say.
It's all freshmen.
You just named the entire class.
I did, in the entire class.
Thank you for doing that.
The only one coming back is Keon Brooks.
You got stuck in the air.
But it's gone back to the years of, instead of saying, you know what, we are going to have two or three guys coming back. Like last year, we had multiple guys come back. Year before that, multiple guys come back. We're going back to the years where nobody's coming back. We all think, okay, so-and-so's going to develop, and they're going to come back.
But they're not great.
Nobody's coming.
But they're not great. They're just whatever.
Yeah, they're bodies. You need bodies. You need dudes on the bench.
I do believe with the development, too.
Yes,
I
in the development.
Because
absolutely,
that's what everyone has been, you know, suckling up to Calipari in the last year or two about how it's all about, you know, it's all about how they can develop players, and look how they're selling Nick Richards, and look how they're selling.
It's flipped.
Well, no, that's fine if you want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, if you believe in that, then you really, really, really want E.J. Montgomery to come back, even though in the first 2 years he has been a bust.
Yes,
for
absolutely.
What you thought he was going to be, for what the recruiting ranking was, the expectations, still starting games, he was a bust. And if they got Kerry Blackshear, then E.J. Montgomery, he wouldn't be leaving for the NBA. He'd be the transfer thought would have been something that we would have talked about.
He may have gone with Khalil Whitney
so
in the middle of the year. I mean,
there's
no telling. But, yeah, the whole thing's ridiculous. And it goes, again, from where we think we're going to have Johnny Juzang, Keon Brooks, E.J. Montgomery, you know, possibly one of the guards between Emmanuel Quickley and Ashton Higgins. They're all gone but Brooks now. It's everyone's – and Dante – and people say, well, Dante Allen, he didn't play a game. He didn't play a game. We have no idea if he's good or not. We have no idea.
I'm sure you said he was great when he committed, so – I'm sure back then everyone knew. Now they don't know, but you know, a couple months ago everybody knew how good Dante Allen was.
I'm not big on in-state players. We've had our share of them, and I mean they don't pan out to like their junior, senior year.
Okay, well that's what you want.
That's what you do want.
437-9680. So we'll get to the UPS jobs text line. Sam Vicente going to join us from The Athletic. We'll talk with him at 3:30. We will talk with Rick Bozich at 4:00. We need to get into. I want to do sound here for the next 10 minutes. We need to play one of these matchups. But let's hear Brett McMurphy break our hearts, wondering if we're going to have college football coming up in the fall.
The difference and the challenge for the colleges is, and I hope I'm wrong on this, Bob, I don't think when we get to mid-August that these university presidents are going to tell their student bodies, all 20, 30, 40,000, whatever, is how many ever there is at Louisville or at Kentucky or Florida, Texas, you pick any school in the United States, and they're going to say, you know what, it's safe to come back to campus, everybody come back, everything's good. I don't think that's going to happen. I think universities will be forced to do online classes exclusively in the fall. And if you don't have a student body on campus, you don't have student athletes on campus. And so if that happens, I think a very real possibility is moving the season back to the spring semester, if you will, after the Christmas holidays. And a number of ADs that I talked to, I reached out to all 130, 112 of those, responded, and basically a real possibility now is having a spring football schedule, if you will, and moving the season to the spring. So it could be a situation where the national title game is in Miami, the semifinals are at the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. Those games could be played around Memorial Day. Now, if I would have said that to you 2 weeks ago, you would have laughed at me. And now, you know, when we continue to see these events, you know, canceled all over the world. Wimbledon, there's a report the British Open's been canceled. Those are going into mid-July. So it's only going to take a couple more weeks till stuff in August, into late August, gets canceled. And as you know, the college football season starts the last week of August. So believe me, the commissioners, the athletic directors, everybody involved with college athletics knows how imperative and important and vital it is to get the college football season played, because of the revenue generated by these schools. And even if you can't have fans in the stands, ultimately, if you get the players back on campus and can play, the TV ratings will help recoup some of this money. Because as a number of ADs told me, said, look, if we don't have a season, we're going to go out of business. One AD summed it up best. If we don't have a football season this year, we're bleeped. And that's a real concern right now.
I mean, that is... Boy, that was eloquent coming. I sound like Don Vito or Big Easy or you.
Or me.
That is my biggest worry, and I think I am now preparing myself for that being the case. Because he's exactly right. You have to the NFL could be a different story, and he said that on the front end of the clip, that it could be different because professionals, you can kind of quarantine people away, and the NFL would maybe fight for that. We may have NFL football in the NFL. There's one league to just say bleep it, and obviously caring about the health of their players, you can't really say because it's football in any way. That is a joke when it comes to the NFL. To, you know, 21 games is what you're going to have to win, 22 games to win the Super Bowl now. Anyway, that's besides the point. I am leaning towards this now being an expectation. And it is going to be a sports orgy when all of this hits at once. I mean, if we have college football on top of NBA, on top of, you know, who knows, well, probably
college
not
basketball.
NFL, college basketball, the NCAA tournament gets moved back. You're also talking about maybe the sports calendar next year being completely changed and full another year, 2022, before we get back on track. Initially, my thoughts are it's bad for college basketball. My other thoughts are exactly what I've been saying. When you talk about these universities and student athletes and these colleges, it is just different. And even though they make all of the money and it mimics pros, and it is pro, the guts of what they are is going to come back and hurt them.
Yeah.
Because what they are is, you know, is a group of student athletes. It's a group of public universities, and you can't have 40,000 students going back to Alabama, 40,000 plus going to Lexington, 25K plus at Louisville, Indiana, 40K plus, whatever enrollment numbers. I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Over 40.
Yeah.
I think the expectation for me is that it's absolutely going to be pushed back, and then we are going to have a year, if all of this virus stuff is either under control or kicked out of the country, that we're just going to have sports for a year as everyone tries to catch back up to a normal routine again.
My question is, could there be a scenario where if the universities want to do the online classes for the entire fall semester, but if you can bring in the athletes and have them stay on campus and be in that like quarantine situation where you talked like about the NFL, where they're the only ones on campus.
That might be the case. He talked about that later in the interview. Absolutely, if they don't plan the fall, and they're still not thinking, hey, let's bring back 40,000 students to these big public universities to play football, that would be something that would be considered.
And then obviously, you know, leave that up to the student athlete, whether he or she feels safe enough to do something like that, because you would drastically cut the
you change everything.
You change everything, and then you play with you know.
Good interview.
It was really good interview.
Nick will have that podcasted by 8:45 tonight. So if you're if you're up drinking bourbon at 9 o'clock with the family,
who's not?
With nothing to do, I am a little bit worried about myself. Now I'm moving into bourbon slushies. I'm refining bourbon slushies.
Those are good.
I just ordered another $125 a beer.
There you go.
This morning I have another. I got a couple for you, actually. A couple cans for you.
Oh, nice.
Is that okay?
Yes, that's okay. You're darn Pain, right. That's okay.
And booze.
That's fine.
All right. So before Sam Vecenie here in about 10, 11 minutes on the Take on ESPN Louisville, in the sound bracket, Mitch, I'm going to throw something at you here. Usually we would go with the 116. But the 116, the clips are long just such haymakers. They need time to breathe. So I'm looking at the 8-9, and we're in the Louisville Lock region, which is the upper right, okay? We've been doing the sound bracket. We'll continue to play it out. We have two sounds here, Mitch. Can we go to the 8-9 game? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, well, there we go. He's so nice and calm.
He is.
He's so nice and calm. All right, so let's go to the 8 seed. The 8 seed is Marquette, and it's Marcus Maben.
You would have signed up for Evan Conley to eat a sack instead of throwing the turnover.
Eat what?
Great sound.
All of that is great.
It is.
So that is the 8 seed. That is Marquette. All right, the 9 seed, Texas Tech. This is on the old midday rush when I asked Lucy McClain a key question. At that time, we didn't know the answer. Now we do know the answer. Here it is. Here's the 9 seed. This is Texas Tech. Your father's number one employer, is it Spectrum Television or ESPN 680?
Oh.
Say
the
it.
Face that he's
say
making
it.
Is not good.
I'm not.
What does your
I'm
gut tell you? What
is
your
hits.
Spectrum?
No!
Yes! No, yes! Lucy! No!
Yes!
No!
Yes! Wow!
Goodbye.
Yes!
Goodbye.
All right, I just played the game. Again, that's Marquette and Texas Tech. I just played it. 77-70. a 7-point win for Marquette.
Really?
So the 8 seed moves on. Maben Sack is
that.
The title to that sound. It moves on. I mean, good guy. We got enough lock. Yeah. Him losing's not a problem whatsoever.
I'm good with that.
So
that's
the 9
a great
seed,
sound.
Goodbye to the 9 seed. Little Lucy, by the way, Locke was just peppering Twitter today with Spectrum retweets. And the amount of people now that send those to me, whether it be in DMs or personal texts, like I have so many warriors out there.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. I mean, there it is.
I sent you one yesterday
when he
was arguing with the Spectrum graph.
Yeah.
There's
a
graph shared. He's
calling it fake news.
This is inaccurate. He was arguing with the coronavirus graph that Spectrum shared on Twitter. I almost fell out of my chair. Yeah. My wife was like, "Are you drunk already?" And I was like, "No. Look at this tweet."
Texas says, "Hey, Strieble, how many freshman backcourts have won the title in the last 10 years? We'll read some text. Sam Vicente next on The Take.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
He's giving an L's up on his morning run. He's got the shirt off. He's glistening. Look at Satterfield. He's living better than Satterfield right now.
And James Strieble.
If I had pecs like those and abs, better believe it. I'd be shirtless right now.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It's The Take on ESPN 680 105.7. James Strieble hanging out with us again. Reminder, the Papa John's no contact delivery. We're on the mobile Papa John's studios today for today's Thursday show here on ESPN Louisville. The no contact delivery is the way to go. They leave it, boom, you're done. There you go.
That's
you
amazing.
I mean, that's the way to go. Probably going to do that yet again this weekend. 437-9680. I have neglected the text line. We will get to that here momentarily. Sam Vicente is going to join us from The Athletic here in just a second, so I don't want to get into much. Just a couple different notes. Boston College's Anthony Brown, the quarterback. You remember him.
Yeah.
He got injured, I think, last year in the Louisville game. He was injured. I believe they had to bring the backup.
Yeah, I believe that's the case,
if I remember that right. He's going to be transferring to Oregon. Ed Orgeron and his wife filed for divorce.
What?
Yes, there you go. And the story of the day is Josh Pastner and Georgia Tech. Josh Pastner outsmarting everyone. It being announced today. I don't know if this was today. I just saw it on Twitter. Again, I'm assuming some of the people I trust that were retweeting it.
Yeah.
That Georgia Tech served its ban they had from the tournament.
God bless
this
him.
Year in the year that there was
no tournament. God bless
him. He did it, didn't he?
He did it.
That is fantastic, is it not?
He's staying golden is what he's doing in Georgia Tech. Nice work, Josh Pastner.
The only other thing I had was, and I doubt you want to get into that, Governor Cuomo in New York City. Have you seen the scuttle around him?
About his ring?
Mitch, do you know this story at all? Mitch might be trying to get Sam on the phone. Yeah. You might not be able to go
Governor
to him.
Governor Cuomo? What story is this now?
Who is he? Do you know who he is?
The Governor Cuomo? Yes. He's not the governor. Is he the governor of New York or is he the mayor?
Okay. Yes.
De Blasio's the mayor.
Yes. Who's his brother? Cuomo's brother.
It's Chris Cuomo, the guy from CNN.
And you only know that because we got that LeVar Ball sound that we still need to play from three days ago that we never got to. Sam needs a second, so we'll just BS about this. But did you see the story?
Yes, about his.
No, you saw it, but did Mitch see it?
Oh, did Mitch see it?
No, I did not.
Ooh.
Well, tell him.
All right, so apparently the governor may have a nipple ring because there's a picture of him with a very tight polo shirt on. And it looked like a solid object.
It looked like it.
That or just really cold where he was. It's one of the two. But it appears that Governor Cuomo may have a nipple ring. And he's a man in his, 70s,
I think? Know.
I think he's a man in his 70s. Maybe he got it when he was younger.
Is he that old? I don't know.
60s or 70s. He's not, you know, his son's an adult. I mean, his son's in his 30s or 40s. So, I would say that he's probably in his 70s. And he may have a nipple ring, Mitch. And so everyone's trying to, dissect the photo and see if the nipple ring is really there or not.
You said that in an odd way.
That's how one of my high school biology teachers, he didn't say dissect, he said dissect.
Oh, that's so pretentious.
And it kind of stuck with me.
That is Lachlan McLean pretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He wouldn't say dissection, dissection.
Oh, that creeps me out.
And it every once in a while it pops out in my vocabulary as well. So, and that was a moment where I said that.
Texas says maybe it was a nice way for them to say he wasn't happy playing for Cal. Oh, EJ Montgomery, listen, it takes a special player that is not going to have success at a place for 2 years. And in today's day and age, listen, you can blame Cal. I mean, listen, there are people that want to. Probably.
Yeah.
But the whole thing that we talked about earlier in the show is nobody buys into that Kentucky or Cal did not give E.J. Montgomery enough chances, okay? Mm-hmm. Not to mention it has been burned in our brains how Kentucky basketball and the development of bigs with Kenny Payne. It's the reason that there were some people out there, you know, going all in with he needs to be the next coach at U of L.
Yeah, absolutely.
That nonsensical. So we shall see on any of that.
Uh-oh.
The nipple ring thing. Oh, they're talking a lot about that in New York.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they are. I mean, what else are they – I mean, other than everyone's sick.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, everyone's sick in New York, and then, you know, the nipple ring. That's number one trending topic on Twitter.
Texter says, EJ Montgomery's dad, and they sent the picture yesterday of Mitch's dad. When we had the conversation yesterday –
Really the hot dog.
Did Mitch's dad own a corn shirt?
Yes.
K-O-R-N. When I made a random Jonathan Davis, which is now a really musty reference
it
to make,
is.
Quite frankly.
I remember when, you know, I was in a freshman in high school listening to Korn and my parents being terrified. Like, what are you?
Well, they should have been.
What is that?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
He's just growling. It's like, yeah, that's part of his shtick.
Things I want to get with Sam Vecenie on. Did he think the lawyer was cool in the scheme? We can get to that. There's a couple different things. I mean, we are, and I do not want to get on my high horse, but again, the lack of reaction when there's nothing to talk about right now is continually stunning, and that's ESPN would lead the way on that, but many right. others as well. Sam Vecenie joins us at Sam_Vecenie. You can follow him on Twitter. He's from The Athletic, has the Game Theory podcast, had the big board out today, and we're always happy when he can set aside a few moments for us here on The Take on ESPN Louisville. Sam, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Well, everything is good. Should I say everything's good? We're in my living room doing a radio show. Quarantined for months. I guess it's – I mean, we're alive, we're healthy, we're doing good. So in that respect, it is good. How has quarantine time been for Sam Vecenie? Just watching film, watching tape? What have you been doing?
Yeah, a whole lot of basketball. I mean, to be honest, like – my day-to-day has not changed all that much. I work from home every day, right?
Yeah.
But it's gotten busier. It's gotten much busier because typically there is, you know, a staggered end to the basketball season. Like, you know, conference tournaments end and some guys get eliminated and then the NIT happens and the NCAA tournament happens and, you know, the end of the regular season eliminates some guys and then, you know, European basketball happens for 6-7 weeks after that. So typically it's pretty staggered in regard to my job and, you know, paying attention to guys, right? This year, everyone stopped at the same time. So it creates
Well, good, you got something to do.
Yeah, it creates a blockage of guys that you got to go through, and it certainly gives us something to do because, you know, certainly, you know, all of the beat writers are a little bit more interested in the draft right now. It seems like the world is a little bit more interested in the draft. So definitely a little bit busier now, but it's good problems to have.
All right, so Sam Vecenie with us. Let's get through some of these then quickly. I want to talk about, obviously, your big board, but just your thoughts. We spoke, you know, 3 weeks ago or so, maybe a month ago, just about Jordan Wara and, you know, just everything. Emmanuel Quickley now we do believe is going to go to the NBA. That's much stronger than the last time we had our conversation. But Quickley, in the scheme, I assume you saw the HBO doc, right?
I did.
Okay. The lawyer was cool, was he not?
The lawyer?
the Dawkins lawyer guy, yeah, who had the suit on with the floral shirt under it, who was very tan. We came away thinking that he was a cool lawyer, that Christian Dawkins got a cool lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I guess that I was just stuck comparing like the FBI's performance in that in comparison to the FBI's performance in McMillions,
yeah.
Where like we had Agent Doug out here in McMillions just destroying the case. And meanwhile, these FBI agents couldn't get out of their own way and really probably shouldn't have been investigating this thing to begin with. So,
no, yeah.
You know, I was not a huge fan of that documentary, but, you know, not everything's going to be a home run, you know?
Sam Vicente with us. Okay, so the draft process, an early guess, an educated guess. You know, no face-to-face, the combine. How are these teams going to spend the next few weeks and months? What's your best guess, Sam?
So, it is, I think the first thing I have to say here is it's absolutely a guess. Because the reason that I have to say that is I don't think the league office knows what this is going to look like yet. And I don't mean to say that the league office is being negligent. I mean to say it as the NBA league office has 95 different things going on right now in terms of priority structure ahead of the draft, right? They're trying to get a season going. They're trying to make it so, you know, each owner doesn't lose a million, you know, millions upon millions of dollars. They're trying to make it so that these players can get a conclusion to the season that they deserve, right? So I think that they haven't put as much thought into the draft as they have other issues, and I think that's rightfully so. But because of it, it has created a bit of a questionable, you know, kind of window here for players, coaches, parents, trainers, executives, etc., just because we're in uncharted territory totally in regard to this. You know, I think a lot of parents are struggling and a lot of players are struggling with the fact that there's probably not going to be a pre-draft process this year. And if it does exist, I mean, I can't see it existing until July or August, and that's if the NBA moves the draft back, which I'm not like 100% convinced is going to happen. So it's all just very complicated and complex, and I think that to speculate on this at this stage is just...
It's impossible.
It's tough to do. Like, I'm not at a loss for words because, like, I can explain what's going on, but I do think that it is a circumstance where we just really don't know at this stage because there isn't enough information to make even educated guesses.
Sam Vicente with us from The Athletic at Sam_Vicente. Also has a Game Theory podcast. It's ESPN 680-1057. I went back and looked, Sam, quickly with Jordan Wara. He was 51 on your last big board, 63 on this one. I mean, there's a couple things here. What do you make of where Jordan Wara stands now? The season's over. He didn't get to prove himself at the ACC tournament, and then he really could have used a nice run in the NCAA tournaments. He's a guy that, you know, definitely needs those workouts. Where do you make of his draft projections? And I know a big board is not the same as a mock draft, but, I mean, what percentage chance would you put that you don't know how much he's going to be drafted, like for sure be drafted coming up whenever we have the NBA draft?
Yeah, I would say, you know, something like 60-40 that he probably does get drafted. You know, part of it's going to be his willingness to potentially take a two-way contract. You know, how does he want to enter the NBA? I think that mostly teams want to get guys under terms that is convenient for the team, right? So Jordan's going to have to decide on some level, you know, do I want to be a draft pick if I can't get a guaranteed contract from the jump? And I'm not sure if he'll get a guaranteed contract from the jump upon being drafted, just because you look through his game and really the only thing he's bringing to the table, in my opinion, is the ability to shoot the ball. And he is a terrific shooter, and you can make a case that, you know, that is arguably the most important skill for any guy who's going to be a role player at the next level, and that's what Jordan's going to be. That is the most important skill for any role player to have in today's NBA. But I think you got to be able to bring something else to the table. You got to prove that you cannot be negligent whenever you're away from the ball defensively. You got to be able to prove that you can make quick decision reads as a passer. And you know, you got to be able to prove that you can attack closeouts and handle the ball and not make poor decisions when you get crowded. And these are things that Jordan struggled with this year. I mean, there's a reason that Louisville, you know, at times, I'm not saying it was a regular occurrence, but at times last year just kind of didn't close games with Jordan. And I think that a lot of it had to do with not being trustworthy enough when the going gets tight, whenever you're trying to make high-level decisions in tight spaces offensively and making adequate reads defensively away from the ball.
Sam Vecenie with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. Can you educate us all on Jay Scrubb? Because he's a big topic here. Do you have anything Jay Scrubb? I've never seen him play, but Louisville fans will absolutely panic if he ends up keeping his name in the NBA draft. The sense I get is that he wants to be in the NBA draft. What do you think the NBA even thinks of him?
Yeah, the kind of feedback I've gotten is that the family probably would prefer to go down that route if Scrubb is going to be a first-round pick or like a top 35 pick, right? And Scrubb is interesting because the start of his season this year was actually not great. Mm. He was a somewhat inefficient player. Some of the feedback that I heard in regard to his demeanor with some teammates, you know, because he was by far the best player in, you know, junior college this year in terms of talent. And he just wasn't quite vibing, I guess, in the way that scouts had hoped. But late in the season, he morphed back into that guy that got invited to Nike Basketball Academy along with, you know, Cassius Winston and Cole Anthony and Obi Toppin and all of these superstar college basketball players last year, and looked like, you know, he held his own, right? So in the case of Jaden Scrubb, like, I would imagine that, you know, teams are going to be interested in seeing him in person because of that kind of tale of two halves of his college basketball season this past year. The problem is they're not really going to get a chance to see it. And then on top of it, a lot of scouts went out early to see him during the portion of the season where he was not particularly good, and comparatively few went out to see him during the close of the season where he was really good. So I think he's in a tough spot. I think he's a guy who really could have benefited from a pre-draft process and really could have seen his name rise up the board as the pre-draft process continued. But because we're not going to get that opportunity, I do wonder and think personally it's probably going to be best off for him to go to Louisville and be a part of what will, in my opinion, I mean, it's going to, if it's not going to be the best backcourt in the country next year between him and David Johnson, it's going to be one of the three best backcourts in the country.
Yeah, you know, that, I mean, that, then that's the fun with Jay Scrubb. If he shows up at Louisville, Louisville fans absolutely feel that way. If he doesn't, it's like, who's the other guard? Yeah. And like no one has any idea. So no, your read is great there. Two more, and we'll get you out of here. Sam Vecenie, been very nice with his time. Speaking of David Johnson, what do you make of him being able to play the back end of the year? Chris Mack was asked about it, Sam. Who else might test the waters or get information? And he did not even mention David Johnson, which I guess surprises me just a little bit. What is your read on David Johnson as Louisville fans are going to be relying on him so much next season?
Yeah, I think the impression I've got is that he probably will be back at Louisville next year, whether or not it's, you know, he decides to test briefly and then goes back or doesn't decide to. You know, for instance, like Tyrese Halliburton last year didn't even go through the process, right? You know, he knew that his future was going to be higher on draft boards after his sophomore year. And, you know, I kind of feel the same way about David Johnson. Like, I think that his future is to come back next year, be a guy that, you know, is a top 30 player in the country in college basketball. His feel for the game is exceptional. He's an unbelievable passer. He makes critical reads at great times. And he's a really high-end defender as a 6'5" point guard at the point of attack. Those are skills that NBA teams really look for. I think that where Johnson can really stand to improve is becoming a consistent three-point shooter, because he's not the world's best athlete. if he's able to start knocking down that three-point shot at a high level, it's going to be hard for defenders to really figure out how to defend him in any cogent manner. So I look at David Johnson, I think that he should go back, and I think that his ceiling as a draftee is pretty high next year if he's able to perform similarly to how he performed in some of the big flash games like the Duke game last year.
Sam Vecenie with us. Last one, Emmanuel quickly. Kentucky fans have set their hearts on him coming back. Now they know that the chances of that happening probably not going to be the case. Can't really play the one right now, but is a deadly shooter. What did you make of Emmanuel quickly?
Yeah, I think you hit the hit the nail on the head, right? He is an absolutely lethal shooter. He can knock down shots off the catch. He can knock down shots off the move. Like, you know, he is so quick at setting his feet and firing that it's just an immediately translatable skill. What he is going to have to do is he's going to have to prove to people that his size is not going to be a detriment to him defensively while playing the two-guard position. Because you're right, he's not really a point guard. He's a scoring guard. And like I said earlier with Jordan Wora, shooting is the best skill that you can bring to the table right now as a role player in the NBA. And that's what Emmanuel quickly is going to be. And he's just going to have to prove that he's going to be capable of defending up a little bit in terms of size.
Sam Vecenie with us here on The Take on ESPN Louisville. Sam, always appreciate all the time. Great stuff up at The Athletic. Continued success, man. I mean, good God, you put something up. I see how much reaction you guys are getting, so I appreciate you having some time for us today. The Game Theory podcast is up at Sam_Vecenie. Always appreciate the time, Sam, and whenever we figure out what's going to be happening officially with these guys, whether it be college or NBA, we'll give you a call. Thanks so much.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right, Sam Vecenie with us here on ESPN Louisville. Yeah, I think we'll play that in the bonus hour.
That's good stuff.
Is that good enough for the bonus hour, Mitch, do you think?
Yeah, coupled with Brett McMurphy. I can't talk today. Good God.
And you said, I can't talk today. Then I think you stuttered again.
He did.
I think you said, good God.
I can't talk today. Good God. Poor Mitch.
What's wrong? Are you okay? Is everything okay?
No, we're all good back here. No, we're all good.
Okay.
There you go.
Being kind of secretive, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's being coy. I'm
worried about getting all of this sound bracket in because we got Bozich coming here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're screwed. Yeah. No, he's coming up at 4:30.
Oh, I thought you said 4 o'clock in the last segment.
Oh, well, if I did, I'm wrong. No, I think it's 4:30. Well, hang on. Let me check.
Let me see Twitter.
Hang on just a second.
What did you tweet it
out? 4:30, yeah.
Okay.
If I tweeted it out wrong, I apologize. I apologize to everybody. Listen, I'm sorry. No, that's fine. Do you want to play a matchup right now? Quick break. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Quick break. Great stuff from Sam Vecenie. We'll get into the sound bracket. We'll do it next. It's The Take. Hanging out with you on this Thursday. A reminder. And by the way, I need to pop the air on in here. Well, everyone has the same problem. In the morning, it's cold.
Yes.
Okay, and my house is cold, as it is, just because it's an old, cold-ass house, okay? And then, like, right now, you almost need the air on.
The sun's out. It's beaming. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. So if you have any issues, okay, a tune-up, whatever it may be, or you need a new unit, because it's not going to stop. Life is not going to stop. You're in your home even more. Trust the experts, BJ Heating and Cooling, 812-283-7221, bjheatcool.com. We've been telling you about the Bryant Mini Splits. As BJ Heating and Cooling, they are now your factory-authorized Bryant dealer. Throw one of the Mini Splits on the wall. They're quiet, they're efficient, and they avoid all the installation and hassle and bulky ductwork of redoing your entire home. This is the way to go if you have that room that it's difficult in days like today to cool down in the afternoon but have heated up in the morning and maybe at night. Again, the website, bjheatcool.com. Get on their email list, 812-283-7221. They are open 24/7, 365. And right now, like, if you have an emergency, they can help you. They are working. 812-283-7221, bjheatcool.com. The sound bracket will do it next year on a Thursday.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown.
Apply now at upsjobs.com or text Brown to 33588. That's Brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.